Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You always pay to tell the truth.
Oh, how I wish I could believe or understand that.
All I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
For we will see God's wonders.
I'm going to find out the truth, I guarantee you that.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, it's a known fact that we're raising our kids in what has become known as a postmodern culture. And cultural experts have identified the fact that many kids have trouble with what they call objective truth, and they need to experience things firsthand. Well, here's what that means for us as parents. If we want our kids to connect with God, well, then we not only need to tell them about Him, but we also need to help them experience God firsthand. Well, today on Homeward, best-selling author Philip Yancey is back again to continue sharing how we can create a home environment where our kids can experience God in a most powerful way. That's coming up today on Homeward, so stay tuned.
One of the biggest challenges for parents today is to make God and the Spirit of God visible in forms that kids can understand. Even in the most devout Christian homes today, more and more parents are really struggling with this. What can we do? Well, today here on the Homeward broadcast, part two of a two-part conversation with Dr. Jim Burns and best-selling author Philip Yancey about some tips for making God visible in your family. So we hope that you'll be with us for the next half hour to really enjoy this. Of course, if you are missing any part of any of the Homeward broadcasts, we do podcast the Monday through Friday edition of the program of which you are listening to. And the podcast is absolutely free. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button, and there's a tab right there for podcasting. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes. You can get the whole subscription started, so very, very easily. And now, here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, Philip Yancey again. We're talking about experiencing God in your home. He's written a wonderful book called Finding God in Unexpected Places. This is one of these broadcasts where, frankly, it's going to be inspirational to you. And it's going to be one of these things that these stories will remind you that God is present in very unexpected places. If He's present in unexpected places, He can be present in your life as well, in your home, and hopefully motivate you to help your kids make right and wise decisions about finding God, and that it doesn't have to be just in church, although I think church is a great place to be, and it's a place where we do need to have community. Philip, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Editor at large for Christianity Today magazine. I read so many of those. We were talking right before we came on about that. But you also were at Campus Life magazine,
so
you must have a heart for young people as well.
Campus Life was the greatest place in the world to learn to write, because you don't only have a difficult audience, in many cases you have a hostile audience.
Right.
Many of our readers were given a subscription to Campus Life by Aunt Bertha, who was concerned about little Johnny's spiritual health. So for his birthday, she gives Johnny a subscription to Campus Life, and he picks it. What is this, a Christian magazine, you know? And our job as editors was to make John interested enough to read that magazine and to become a friend. So that was a challenging place to learn to write, because I had to really communicate.
In our previous program, you talked about Gandhi, and there's another famous quote from Gandhi. He was studying law in South Africa for a short time, and he was enamored with the Sermon on the Mount, and he was enamored with Jesus. And somebody said, well, would you be willing to become a Christian? And he said, well, as soon as I find a Christian who acts like Jesus, you know, I will.
Yes.
And so in many ways, what's happened here is that we have a church that always doesn't act like Jesus, and we are fallible. We don't always act like Jesus.
Absolutely.
But what's fascinating is in your book, I love your stories where you'll talk about, you know, finding God in unexpected places. One of the neat things that we were talking about earlier in the previous program is you have the privilege to go around the world, mm-hmm. and every corner of the world, and find God there.
Yeah.
Where's a place that you've been in the not too distant future where you really kind of unexpectedly came across something where you said, boy, that's a God thing?
Sure. I consider it a privilege, really, that I'm able to go as an advocate for my readers. Not everybody can just quit their jobs and go and tour China or whatever, but that is my job. I am a journalist, and so I love getting on a plane, going places, and just immersing myself in a whole new environment. And the last trip I took was to Eastern Europe. I went to Hungary, beautiful capital of Hungary, in Budapest, and there's a museum there that's not been open too long called the House of Terror Museum. Mm-hmm. The Nazis ruled Hungary for a time, mm-hmm. and then after they moved out, the Russian army moved mm-hmm. in, and that same building became the headquarters of the KGB. And now it's a museum. And in fact, the torture cells are still there. There are still bloodstains on the wall. And they've documented what it's like to live under oppressive regimes from both sides, the right-wing Nazis, the left-wing right. communists. And I've spent enough time in Eastern Europe to realize how brutalized that whole part of the world is. But the beautiful thing about that part of the world is that Christianity is already there. Mm-hmm. It's latent. In fact, the whole wall came tumbling down. It really comes, it traces back to this one pastor who was a Hungarian, Laszlo Tox, mm-hmm. in Romania, and that's what started the whole revolution. I was in a museum in Russia, the Hermitage Museum, and there's a room there with paintings of Rembrandt, like mm-hmm. the Return of the Prodigal right. Son. Right. And I saw group after group of Russian school children coming in, and the teachers would try to explain the Bible stories on the wall. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me so much of the scene in Acts, where the Ethiopian eunuch is reading the Bible, Isaiah 53, he doesn't understand it. And Philip climbs up into the chariot and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" That's how I feel missionaries can do in Eastern Europe today. They don't have to tell them new things. They just have to say, look, it's already here. It's on your walls. It's in your churches. Right. Do you understand it? Let me try to explain it to you. Yeah. So that part of the world really touches me because they've been so brutalized, as this museum shows, and yet underneath it all is that heritage that you can just pull out.
Right. There is a heritage, and also, as we were talking about in a previous program about China, the faith is still there, and it yeah. was there, and today it's getting stronger. Stronger, especially among young people. In your chapter in your book, Finding God in Unexpected Places, you have a chapter called God at Large, and you mention how certain nations are at different stages in their relationship with Christianity.
Right.
It's very fascinating. I never even
right.
thought about this. And you give the example of Brazil and the Philippines being kind of still in the honeymoon stage,
right.
and places like Denmark being kind of in the divorce
yes.
stage. Talk about your assessment of those places, and then I want to hear your assessment about the United States also,
sure.
mature marriage.
Sure. Well, the divorce phase, Western Europe is probably the best place to sense that, because they've got the great cathedrals, and the only people you see in those cathedrals are Japanese tourists with their video cameras. There are no worshipers, right. or very few.
Right.
In a country like Denmark, maybe 2% of the population ever goes to church for a worship service.
Right.
On the other hand, when I was in the Philippines, I remember I was speaking on a tour. One of my books had come out, and they said, okay, tonight's venue, we've rented a shopping mall. There's a corner of the shopping mall, and we've rented 1,000 chairs. I said, well, who's coming? He said, well, we just start talking about Jesus, and there's a multiplex theater with 12 theater screens next door. And when people yeah. hear you talking about Jesus, they'll change their plans and come listen to you. And I said, yeah, right, I'm sure that's going to happen, you know. And so we start, and there's concrete walls, a corner of a shopping mall, and 1,000 empty chairs. And there's my wife and my host. You know? And so I get up there and start talking about Jesus. And by the time I finished, there were 1,000 people
amazing
sitting there.
Amazing story.
It is good news to them. And that's the honeymoon phase right. of Christianity. The United States, I think we're kind of in the 25th anniversary phase. Mm. You know, we've heard it all. We've kind of seen it all. We're committed. We're hanging in there. But we've lost that glow, that early glow. Right. You hand out tracts in Chicago, New York City, and they don't stop and read them. They throw them on the pavement and maybe spit in your face, you know?
Right.
And we have all these battles about politics and the church and all that. You know, we're a solid presence, and it's not going to disappear. We're not like Western Europe, but we're certainly not like the Philippines and Brazil. Yeah. And what I find, as I look at all that, there's one principle that explains how God kind of jumps from place to place. Because when you think about it, God started in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. Our religion started in the Middle East. All the churches that Paul wrote to, that John wrote to in Revelation, they're all Muslim now. And yet then it moved to Western Europe, and then it moved to North America, and now it's in Asia, South America. Why? What explains that? And finally I came up with a simple explanation, and that is that God goes where he's wanted. God goes where God is wanted. And that's what really kind of concerns me about the United States, because we've got so many diversions. We've got 500 television channels you could be watching, right. and God easily gets pushed to the side. God doesn't force himself on you and say, no, you've got to listen to me. He just goes somewhere else where he's wanted.
God goes where he's wanted.
Revelation 3:20, right? I stand at the door and knock. That's the whole idea here, and he's quite the gentleman in that regard. But unfortunately, with so many different media influences clamoring for the attention of our children in particular, today here on the Homeward Broadcast, having this conversation, Dr. Jem Burns, author Philip Yancey, talking about making God visible in your family is so very, very important. If you want help in how you can do that, go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and type in making God visible or passing your faith on to your kids. You'll find dozens of articles and tip sheets on that subject absolutely free when you go to homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Yeah, I just can't believe you said that, Jim.
Yeah, I'll believe it, Bill. I mean, I get this call from a friend I've known since college. He says he's calling me to tell me that we couldn't be friends anymore, that he'd become a Christian. He's trying to put his drinking days behind him.
I'm telling you, Jim, that's not what Christianity's all about.
Don't get me wrong, Bill. I have no problem with you. It's just I've known my share of Jesus freaks who didn't want to hang out because I like to party a little. And you know what? If that's what it means to be a Christian, no thanks.
Being a Christian doesn't mean giving up all your unbelieving friends. You can learn from them, even enjoy their company and be challenged by their questions. Who knows? Through your loving example, they just might become a Christian. Your kids will be impacted by the kind of example you set in the presence of your unbelieving friends. Just be sure those non-Christian friendships aren't taking you down a path that's against your biblical values. For a free copy of my tip sheet called What is God Really Like? Go to homeward.com. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, what an inspiring conversation we're having with Philip Yancey. What a privilege to be with a journalist who actually goes around the world and sees God in unexpected places, and that's what we're talking about today. Part of this means that we, as parents, can help our kids find God in unexpected places, and it may not be in the Philippines. It may not be in Brazil. It may be at school. It may be in an old folks' home. It may be talking to a grandma or a grandpa. It may be in a basement in a church, but God is present, and it's important for us to continue to find Him. One of the worries I have, Philip, as you were talking, is that American Christianity is moving toward a Western Europe style in some ways. Same time, you've got some great things happening within the youth movement.
Sure.
You've got great things happening within the church, but we are moving that way in many other ways, morals, values, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your concerns and fears about American Christianity?
One of my concerns is that we forget the mission of the kingdom. Jesus never seemed concerned with cleaning up society. He lived in the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire did not practice abortion. They practiced something called abandonment of infants. They would let the babies be born and just leave them out by the side of the road. So there was never a question about, is this a living human being? Yes, they were all living human beings. And yet, I'm sure those things appalled Jesus, but Jesus never even mentioned them. Whenever an election happens in the United States, you hear things like, who should be God's man in the White House?
Right.
Jesus never even talked about the Roman emperors. He was here not to clean up Rome. Forget it, you know. Right. He was here to start a tiny little kingdom that would start as a seed and then grow into salt that would affect the whole lump of meat. And when you reach the percentage of population that Christians now are in America, it's easy to forget that. It's easy to think, oh, our job is to make everybody as good as we are, you know. Our job is to pass laws to affirm our values. And when you do that, then you stir up hostility and you kind of have enemies and you start debating them. And we are not here primarily to debate, we're here primarily to love. And it's very hard to be committed to power and to do that with a spirit of love at the same time. It's not impossible, but it's very hard. And what worries me is that many people who are concerned about these issues that are extremely important issues, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying we should not care about these issues, but I think we need to also care about the woman who has the abortion as someone loved by God, as well as the baby who died in
right.
the abortion. We need to somehow get that across. Jesus was able to do that.
Well, you know, Jesus said something very interesting to his disciples. It's in John 13. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And they're saying, new? You know, what's new about this?
Yeah.
He said that you love one another as we love each other in many ways.
Yeah.
And by this, they, and I just have a feeling he's pointing out of that upper room, not that there might have been a window, but he's pointing out there to the world saying, they will know that you are my disciples by the love we have for one another. power or love, love's going to win out every time. I've seen Christians who go into an AIDS hospice and love without bringing shame, and the people who are in that AIDS hospice say, I want to know what you have. Mm. But if somebody comes in and is picketing that place, well, you know, they're not going to jump at the chance to say, hey, you know what, I want what you have. I want to be a part of it. So in many ways, the church has to go back to its roots, just like in the book of Revelation and other places where the first love is love, and it's important for us to do that. I think that's a very good comment. You have a person that I enjoyed meeting in your book named Louise Adamson. Tell our listeners about her.
Oh, Louise is one of those people who just takes Jesus literally. And I don't know about you, but you know, here I am in a big city. I've been walking past, and various people ask me for handouts, and I kind of smile at them. I give them a little eye contact, but I even may give them money, but I don't stop and say, you know, what's the problem? Where are you sleeping? Can I help you? I'm busy. I've got things to do. Yeah. Jesus said, if you see somebody like that, then you should treat them as a person. You should love them. And so her full-time job is to respond to people who need her, just like Jesus told us to. Yeah. And I forget how many, but scores of children have been adopted as foster children by Louise because they were either being beat up in their home or abused or whatever. You need a place to live? Well, Jesus said, open my door. So here, come live with me. And she's one of the most disorganized, unstructured, quote, missionaries. She's actually supported by the Southern Baptist in Atlanta, Georgia. But they can never get her to fill out one of these reports at the end of the month. You know, she never has time for that. There are people whose house is burning down. She's got to fix some food. She's got to give them a place to stay. And you don't need to meet too many people like that to think, oh, if every Christian were just a little bit more like Louise, then maybe there wouldn't be couple million people in the United States who have no place to sleep at night.
Right. Isn't that interesting that in Louise we see Jesus, and yet she's not written big time fancy books. She's not on film. She's just a person day to day caring for, in many ways, the same people that Jesus cares for and died for.
Yeah. And that's what I love. I mean, the name of this book is Finding God in Unexpected Places. And you really only meet one Louise to start thinking, maybe there's something to this.
Yes, very, very good. And really, you're so right. It's Louise who we're drawn to, and we're drawn to her faith and her commitment. And we look past the fact that she doesn't sign the end of the month tally or whatever it may
be. And, of course, Mother Teresa would be another example. She eventually became famous, but she didn't start out that way. I remember a friend of mine was at Harvard one year, and two Christian speakers came and spoke to the student body. One was Jerry Falwell, and one was Mother Teresa. Now, Jerry Falwell, you may not like his politics, but he's been around long enough that he knows how to handle a hostile crowd. He can handle hecklers. He's charming. He's heard it all. He's disarming. So he got in front of the Harvard students, and they started booing and hissing, and he put on his charming best, and they booed him off the stage. They just didn't buy it. A few months later, Mother Teresa came, this little 4 foot something or other, hunched over nun, and she stood on a box, and she told the Harvard students they were all going to hell, and we lived in a culture of death, and they were immoral, and they needed to change, and they lived in this terrible society, and all this stuff, and they gave her a standing ovation because she had lived it out.
Right.
And when you meet a Louise, when you meet a Mother Teresa, the arguments just kind of fade away.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about things that are heavy. And yet, one of your chapters I enjoyed so much was, don't forget to laugh.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah. A lot of times, my message to the evangelical world is just, hey, loosen up. You know, loosen your ties. Lighten up. Right. We are here to enjoy. Jesus said, I came to give life in its fullness. Yeah. And if you really meet a joyful person, you think, boy, I wish I was kind of like that.
Sure, exactly. We're drawn to that kind of person.
Right.
And I appreciate you saying loosen up the ties and yuck it up. I think Jesus probably did that. We don't have much time left, but in the short time we have, you started in a toxic church and almost had to leave faith to come back to faith. Is there hope out there?
There's a lot of hope. In fact, you go to colleges now, Ivy League schools, Princeton, Duke. Compared to, say, 30 years ago, there are thriving Christian communities. The whole Christian college scene is a very healthy scene. We had talked earlier about youth pastors. Every church over several hundred members has a full-time youth pastor. They're usually very sharp, they're funny, they're entertaining, they're well-trained. And this is different than 30, 40 years ago, because I'm old enough to remember what it was like back then. There's a lot of life. there's a lot of energy. And the great thing about America and the church is that it's light on its feet. If things aren't working, the Jesus movement starts. Saddleback Church starts. Willow Creek Church starts. You know, right. we just find new ways right. to get across the same old message.
Right. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Great, inspiring stories that, you know, it makes your heart feel good when you hear that God is in unexpected places when he's doing great and glorious things. Philip Yancey, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with author Philip Yancey here on the Homeward Broadcast, Making God Visible in Your Family. If you want to learn more about Philip's writing ministry, go to homeward.com in the radio broadcast section today. There's a hot link on Philip's name. Take you right to his website. These books are outstanding. They're just really riveting and very, very powerful. And I think, Jim, it's because of the fact that Philip is such a great storyteller. And I know in the closing moments of our broadcast time here today, you want to spotlight on that aspect of his ministry.
While Philip was talking, there was a story, Roger, that was important to me. I mentioned it. It's a story about a woman named Elaine Robertson, who I actually met when I was going to grad school at Princeton. And this is a woman who had cerebral palsy, and she was confined to a wheelchair. And her story is one that so many people who struggle with a serious disease have. She was physically unable to do a lot of things, but Elaine Robertson was one of the most radiant people I've ever known. And while I got to know her at Princeton, we would talk and we would talk about God because that's what she had. She didn't have much else. Such a radiant woman and yet so many problems. As we were walking back through the beautiful campus of Princeton University, I said, Elaine, how do you do it? How do you manage to be so radiant in the midst of all of your ailments? She said, stop the wheelchair. I was pushing her. She said, I want to sing a song to your friends. Now, I thought this to be quite odd in the middle of the Princeton University campus. And she sang these words, and I'm not going to sing it to you, Roger, or to our listening audience. They would turn the radio off. But she sang, Jesus, I love you. I give you my heart. I live for you daily, each day a new start. That was it. Mm-hmm. Jesus, I love you. I give you my heart. I live for you daily, each day a new start. You know, I found tears running down my eyes because I went, this is it. It is so simple. We miss the fact because we get so tied into so many things. And yet the reason Elaine Robertson could be so radiant in her life was because she understood that she gave God her life every day and each day was a new start. And it was a simple faith. In a neat way, she experienced God in a most unexpected place in a wheelchair. But you know what? I experienced God in that same place in the midst of a campus where kids are running and by. Elaine Robertson is singing a song that is so simple and so profound and yet so scriptural.
Wow, what a vivid word picture there, Jim. And it's so typical of the way God works in the lives of people when we don't expect him to do that. And yet our theme today here on the Homeward Broadcast of Making God Visible in Your Family, it's those types of stories, and those types of images that you really have to see to believe that help us as parents impart that onto our kids. They're in a culture that is very story driven, and it's tough for us as parents to keep up with the culture, let alone keep ahead of the culture. And we have a resource here at Homeward that will help parents do a better job of doing that.
Well, it's actually a free resource. You know, every Friday it comes out and thousands of people read it. And actually, hundreds of them tell me thank you. It's amazing. We have almost this cult following of people who love our culture brief. How it started was a guy named Jim Liebelt, who's on our staff and a wonderful, right. incredibly talented researcher, started sending me. It was called the President's Culture Brief or the President's Update. It would help me. And then I'd be doing a radio show and I could, you know, come up with whatever the latest, greatest stuff was that actually he was giving me. And then we said, why are we hiding this? So we deal every week with three issues, and only three issues. So it only takes about 3 minutes to read or less, but it's whatever is hot in the culture. And so it might be the latest on drug and alcohol addiction. It might be the latest on sexual promiscuity. It might be the latest on what kids are doing with driving, you know, how they relate to their parents, just loads and loads of good stuff. It's absolutely free. People can sign up and get it. On the other side, it also says where the big searches are, you know, what were kids searching that week. And so as parents, I always say, listen to what they listen to, read what they read, watch what they watch. Culture Brief is worth it.
Well, we also have to add to that now, search what they search.
I exactly. suppose.
That's the 21st century Ooh, edition of that.
I like that.
Well, one of the reasons that we are able to put together Homeward's Culture Brief, by the way, if you want to start your subscription today, just go to homeward.com. It's really easy to do. HOMEWORD.com. And you can follow the prompts to start your free subscription to Homeward's weekly Culture Brief. But the reason we're able to put this together, the Culture Brief, the daily online devotional, the audio streams and the podcast that you can access without cost, we can do so because, first of all, you're praying for us, and we really feel that prayer, and thank you so much for praying for Jim and for all the members of the staff here and all the guests that come on the program, all of our speakers. But also, for your financial support as well. And you can give a gift online through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. If you missed any part of that address, just call our office at 800-397-9725. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.